Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
Nikki Javala coming up here in about 10 minutes. Let's get to some question mark presented by Breaks Plus. And this one comes in from Levi, who asks, Mark, is there some kind of hex on our tight ends right now?
Yeah, right? I'm telling you what, man, I mean, I don't know what's going on, Mike, but whatever it is, it does not seem good. I mean, that's, you know, like we've had Hireman was out, Fumagalli got hurt during training camp, Jake Butt's been hurt, Noah Fant just twisted his ankle, what's the kid's name, Austin Ford tore his ACL. Like, you got five tight ends on your roster, all of them have been dinged up at one point or another since the start of training camp.
But that's just a fluke. I mean, it's not like they're doing anything wrong, are they?
No, it is a total fluke, but it is.
They're not using them in a wrong way, they're putting them in harm's way or anything like that.
No, it's just a weird coincidence, but it does seem like if you were a tight end in this offense, you might want to move to fullback, you know? You might want to just say, hey, this tight end thing's not going to work for me, I'm going to move to fullback. I mean, it is weird, right? And it's hard. Like in an offense that's tight end dependent, like there's a lot of stuff going on in this offense that you want tight ends for, that you can't field a healthy roster. I mean it's an issue.
I know that we're putting a lot of faith and stock that Rich Gangarello is going to come in and he's going to caffeinate the
right
drab. Boring, stuck in the 90s, archaic, Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's early. I know you're not showing everything, but please tell me there's going to be more variety to this offense than slip screens and fade routes into the end zone when it's, you know, third and 10 at the 11.
Well, I mean, of course there will be, but again,
are you sure? Because
yeah,
it looked a lot like what we've watched in the past.
Well, it is a lot like what we've done in the past. I mean, again, Mike, you know, one, you can't put it on like what routes or what route combinations can you run in the red zone? How layered can you become in the red zone when you're third down and 10 and everybody just plays the sticks? You know, they don't.
I don't know. I'm being sold that he's a new age offensive coordinator that has all kinds of bright ideas. So what are they?
Well, listen, if you're sitting at third down and 9 from the, you know, from the 9-yard line in red zone, I mean, it's like, I don't know that there's anything. You got to have players that just can absolutely win right off the bat. And most of the time you have to have a defense that's like, for me, you got to have a defense that doesn't understand situational football. Like they have to make a mistake more than you have to make a great play.
All right. Well, then tell me what you thought of the play calls when it was first and 10 from the 11. And they tried to run the ball with Royce Freeman. It got blown up in the backfield for a loss.
Uh-huh.
And then they tried to throw, what, like about a 6-7 yard slant to Noah Fant.
Right.
What did you think of the idea behind those two plays in that situation?
All right. So let me just go to that particular series right here. Okay. Cause I've got it up on my iPad. So I can do that for us. Right.
The internet is at not too high of a capacity and that the cell tower is operating properly?
Right. Well, I've got it on paper here, so we're good to go. Ben, can I get a little efforting music as I'm getting into the red zone here? Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, third down at 12. We get... Is the first one third down and 12? Oh, wait a minute. It's the second drive into the red zone. Come on, Mike. It's not the first drive into the red zone. It's the second drive, right?
No, I think it was the first drive of the game.
No. Are you sure?
I'm pretty positive.
Damn it. I don't think so. I can't find it. You know what? My cell capacity is way overrated in the flux capacitor here.
Uh-huh.
It's not working. And so, wait a minute. Okay. Whoa.
It's like Back to the Future. It's weird.
It is weird.
It is their first
impression. All right. Here we go. First down.
First and 10 at the San Francisco 11.
Yes. Okay. So the first down, they run basically, let me see. They're running a 19 handoff.
Isn't that the play you guys used to always run?
Yeah. Oh. They're running 19 handoff. And
so much for state of the art.
Right. Well, it's 19 handoff, but it's the formation. You got a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 man front. You're running weak, and you've got a great number count on the weak side. So you've got three on three on the front side of this play. Now, Bowles, he gets turned. He doesn't do a very good job. But the bottom line is the backside cutoff. There's a hole there, but your tight ends really screwed that up in that formation.
Fumagalli and Fant
were not very good. So that's your first down play. Then you get, I mean, this is a typical.
Now you're second and 12 at the 13.
Right. So now you're running basically, what every West Coast offense runs in this formation. You're running a drag slant. You've got a slot formation. So what you're ended up doing is you're running, double slants on the front side. You're running a flare. You're wide open. I mean, you're in man coverage. You're wide open. The linebacker has removed out. Now this is design, right? You get man. The linebacker is out trying to not get outflanked by Philip Lindsay. So there's a wide open hole and Joe Flacco throws it about 2 yards behind or a yard and a half behind Noah Fant on the slant.
That's a throw that I'm confident Flacco will, majority of the time he'll make, but you like the play design.
Yeah, the play design is great because you got exactly what you're looking for. You got man. You won on the route. You removed the one defender in zone that could have broken that up. Is that linebacker. He's in man, so he's trying not to get outflanked. So there's a huge window to throw it in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a huge window, and you just missed the throw. Now you'd have been third and goal from about the 4 yard line, depending on how much you could have made out of that, right?
Right.
And then, you know, now you're third and 12 and you're trying to throw a fade. Let's just see what they're. Yeah, you're just trying to throw a fade and they got you double covered. They've got the corner deep, and they've got the linebacker. It depends on what you want to call it, slooping underneath. So, like, you're completely covered over there on, who were they throwing that to? Were they throwing that
Hamilton.
To Hamilton? Yeah, you're completely covered. They got you. And again, like I said, they're just playing, they're playing the sticks on that. So, I don't know that. One, play design and all that stuff. You know, we make so much out of play design. It comes down to execution and physically who wins the battles physically. And so far in the red zone to this point, we have gotten beat physically in all those matchups.
But Booger McFarland kept talking about Scangarello that. You know, yeah, Scangarello is well versed in what Kyle Shanahan
mm-hmm.
does and what, you know, before that, Mike and Gary Kubiak, but that, you know, he's got some of his own ideas, some
right.
of his own wrinkles
yes.
that he's going to put on this offense.
Yes.
So, what are they?
The wrinkles?
Yeah. Tell me about wrinkles.
You want to know wrinkles?
I want to know about wrinkles.
Hey, look, have you seen my skin? What would I know about wrinkles?
That's true. Skin of a fine China porcelain.
Mark Slareth.
That's right.
Handsome son of a bitch, get out
I
here.
I don't know nothing about wrinkles. Listen, there's always going to be, you know, an adjustment. I think the wrinkle stuff, Mike, comes off of game plan. So how do they play against this route or this route combination and, you know, versus, like, how do they, if we run this route, how do they line up to it? The wrinkle is, okay, so if they're constantly lining up in a certain coverage, Do we have something we can show them that looks identical, but then we get them? You know, we get them on a play action. We get them on a double move. They get, that's the wrinkles to me come more in the game planning phase. It's not about all of a sudden, you know, everybody wants to see a play that they've never seen before. Like, oh, this guy's a genius. I'm sorry. Everybody runs the same crap. It's all called different stuff, but they all run the same stuff.
Nikki Javala from The Athletic joins us, as she does each and every week. She's presented by Ent Credit Union. She joins us now. Nikki, I guess maybe a tale of two halves is was the feeling coming out of the Broncos locker room yesterday that, hey, focus on the first half where our starters outplayed theirs and disregard the second half where maybe our lack of depth really showed up?
I thought it was a good quarter and a half, and then the rest was kind of not. I thought it was really interesting when the starting defense, when they left the field, that was about 5 minutes left in the second quarter. And on the very first play, the reserves give up a 30-yard play to the 49ers. I mean, you can see very clearly how much of a problem it is. They don't have depth on either side of the ball. So, yeah, that's been a problem throughout the preseason, though, and I think that's kind of been one of the storylines is, you know, their starters can be efficient, but if one of them goes down or if, you know, they have to turn to a handful of reserves, I mean, it's a whole different team. And, you know, from what we've seen, not a very good one right now.
Nikki, obviously we talked a lot about Garrett Bowles over the last couple of years and kind of hiding in plain sight the first two preseason games, no mentions of Garrett Bowles, which was a good thing. As I mentioned earlier this morning, it was like, welcome back, Cotter. He's back. Terrible sets. Really just a horrific game. Just played horribly in the time that he was out there. I'm cause for concern. Is it just in, you know, is an outlier, is aberration, or is there something that we're looking at here from a, cause I just don't know depth wise that you have any answers. I mean, are you stuck? Are you stuck with him? Is he your starter from this point forward?
Well, I think given his draft status and given that his contract is fully guaranteed, maybe, depending on what LA would want to do there, you do have Elijah Wilkinson, who is probably their top reserve at this point and can play, you know, either side at tackle. I think they want to believe that it was kind of an outlier, but given Garrett Bowles' track record, you know, it could be a concern. I think the question now is, how does he bounce back from this? A lot of the issues with Garrett in the past was he would have these bad games or these mistakes, and it would kind of snowball, and he would get frustrated, and, you know, he would lose his focus, and then his technique would, you know, continue to be bad, which would lead to more penalties, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the key for him now is to refocus and to get back on track to where he was in the first two games. Because he, obviously, if he stays on this road, I mean, it's going to be a disaster for the entire line. That penalty that negated the 45-yard completion was bad. It was, I mean, that could have solidified that drive right there, but, he's just gotta get his mind right, honestly.
Nikki Javala from The Athletic joining us as we break down what happened last night. Is there a sense that Drew Lock has progressed enough that he will be the backup and the Broncos will only carry two quarterbacks?
I think you got to listen to Vic. I mean, he's been completely honest on a lot of these things, brutally honest sometimes. And he and John L.A. have said that, yeah, he continues to progress, but incrementally. And he's got a long ways to go. And you can see it out there with his footwork, and some of his reads and, you know, little things that turn into big things, right? So has he done enough to earn the number two job? Yeah, I think it depends on factors that go beyond him. Like how comfortable do they feel that Brett Rippon will clear waivers and how important is it to them that they retain him, either on the active roster or the practice squad? Do they feel Kevin Hogan is much better than Drew Lock and feel more comfortable with him having to step in as a number two if needed? So there are a number of factors at play, and then you have to consider this injury, of course. Is this going to keep him out? And we should know the you know, the severity a little more today after an MRI, though it appears to be pretty mild. So, I mean, to me, no. And I don't think this is something you want to rush. I mean, I think a lot of the mistakes in the past with younger quarterbacks in Denver is you try to rush their development and get them on the field. And with Paxton, that was out of necessity. They didn't have a starter. They needed one immediately. Well, right now they do. They have one for a year, maybe even three, with Flacco's contract. So take your time. You know, let the kid develop and get it right, and then put them in.
Nikki, I've been saying this forever. The depth is going to be a concern. I said it, you know, I mean, I said it in April. Depth is a concern for this football team. I think their top 25 or their top 22 players are pretty good players that can play with people. But, you know, when you get into depth, and one of the places depth rears its ugly head, and you can look at this, it's endemic of the whole league, is in special teams. When your special teams stink, your depth stinks. And this team's special teams is, it's been god awful the last two games. So how do they fix that? Where do they go about it? I heard Vic Fangio talking about playing some starters on special teams. Like, how much of a concern is this for you right now and for this, and for the Broncos in general?
I think it's a huge concern. And Vic Fangio said it. I mean, I've heard about the special teams before this game and how concerning it was that there was no clarity among the returners. Their coverage was very poor. This is after Colby Wadman had a not-so-great game with his punting. I mean, the one bright spot, of course, is Braden McManus. He's been consistent. But it's been a glaring problem. It's been a problem for 2 years, really, you know, with the returners and the coverage issues. And with the returners, you can even go back, you know, more than 5 years, I guess. But it's a huge concern. I mean, a lot of people overlook special teams, but, you know, we've seen firsthand, you know, how bad it can get when that phase is bad. I mean, I go back to that Patriots game here in Denver where they had, like, I remember the trifecta on special teams where it was just huge mistake after huge mistake, and it cost them. So I think it's a huge concern. I asked Vic about it after the game, and he said it's a big-time concern, said the last 2 weeks were unacceptable, and they have to figure it out in these next 2 weeks. You know, and the thought of putting starters back there is concerning because if you don't have much depth on offense either, so, or defense, so if you lose one of them because they get injured on special teams, you're in real trouble there.
All right, well, what is the week like for them this week? It's a short week. They played last night, so how much work they actually going to get in this week before they head off to LA?
Yeah, it's going to be lighter. They're technically off today, though all the guys are in for treatment, and the coaches will meet. They have practice Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday is a travel day to go out to LA, and they play on Saturday. So this week is short, and then the following week is short too because they go from a Saturday game to a Thursday game against Arizona, and then that's it. You know, a week from Saturday, rosters have to be cut, and then, you know, practice teams have to be formed, and then all starts. So they don't have a ton of time. You know, they had an extended preseason at camp, but now they're kind of down to the wire, and they got to get a lot of these things figured out. I thought there were a lot of good things in that game too. I don't want to overlook those. I thought the offense did look efficient. I thought the starting defense looked really good. I thought Chubb was spectacular. But like you said, Mark, the lack of depth is certainly a concern.
All right, Nikki, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Nikki Javala from The Athletic, presented by Ent Credit Union. Better rates, lower fees. Visit Ent.com. All right. So what do you do when it comes to special teams? Because, you know, there was a part of me over the years covering your guys and covering Mike Shanahan, and he'd go on and on about all three phases, and I'd be rolling my eyes. Come on, coach. Right. Stop making it, you know, like it's an equal part of the game. It's special teams. But then you see a year like 2 years ago that Nikki referenced. I mean, it was brutal, and it was painful, and it had huge impact on the games that they were losing. So what do you do when your special teams is shaping up to be this bad? How can you fix it?
Well, I mean, there's not a lot of quick fixes, Mike. You're going to scour the waiver wire when cuts are made to find guys that you like as players that have, you know, special team experience, maybe some veterans who have been special teams performers, and good special teams performers. But, the special teams is kind of like the children in the 50s, you know, to be seen and not heard, right? When it's like protection units, it's like, you know, offensive line. When you never mention the offensive line, you know, they're probably doing a good job during the course of the game. When nobody notices them, they're probably doing a good job. When quarterbacks are getting sacked and they can't pick things up, then it's, oh my God, they're the worst thing ever, right? And special teams is the same way. When you don't notice special teams throughout the entirety of the game, probably means they're doing a pretty good job. But when you notice it, to the severity that we've noticed that you mentioned 2 years ago, but what we've noticed these last two games, like when it's that glaring, there's concern, man. There's a huge concern there for the special teams or lack thereof. So, you know, you're going to have to ask some of your veteran players that are starters that are really good players to say a lot of the guys who are veterans who are starters, you know, got their start. Most of us did in playing special teams first. And so you're going to have to ask a few key guys to contribute there, which is hard when you lack depth. You know, you're asking guys to do things that normally they don't have to do. So
is that unusual? I mean, you've been around this game for a long time. How unusual? I know Belichick did it. Parcells did it. I mean, Parcells was always
Belichick,
somebody.
Right. Belichick has always done it. But, you know, you're asked to be on one or two units. And so it's not unheard of, but like you can't say to your starting, let's say you're starting, you know, safety, hey, we want you to start on, you know, we want you to start on defense, obviously, but we want you, like, you know how hard it is for a guy that's a starting safety? I want you to be R1. I want you to run down on kickoff cover and then all of a sudden have to cover a 9 route or have to cover a post. You know what I'm saying? We're in quarters and you got to be the deep. Like that's hard to do. It's hard to ask guys to say, hey, you're going to start on defense, but you're going to be on all our coverage teams. You're going to be on punt cover, right? So now all of a sudden our offense stalls out. We punt it. You got to run down there and then you got to play defense, you know, and you've just sprinted 42 yards and now you're asked to do this again. Like again, one or two times, it's not that big a deal, but if you're on all those coverage teams, Mike, and now you're talking about, you know, now you're asked to play an extra 12 plays, you know, and the cumulative effect that has on your starting players, that's a lot to be asked. By the way, Mike, really quick, I've got some kind of, Ben, can I get breaking news? Because I think this is important. You know how we've been looking for a nickname for Rich Scangarello?
Yes.
We have, right?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, Skanger, you know.
And you talked about wrinkles.
Yeah.
You talked about wrinkles on the offense. Well, this comes from our friend Sam Adams, formerly the Rocky Mountain News and currently of a comedian.
Very funny.
He's great. He's great. Go see his show. If you get a chance, go see
he's
Sam.
He's a comedy perform. Works all the time.
All the time. He's hilarious. He texted me and said, great. Now I'm calling this dude Skangarinkles.
Skangarinkles?
Skangarinkles. What do you think? Skangarinkles. You said you want wrinkles, Mike.
I do want wrinkles.
Skangarinkles might be your man.
No, I don't know. I'm not feeling that. Sorry. It's kind of like, what? Listen, you flounder around trying to find a nickname for Sanders.
DC, what do you mean?
Well,
I mean, we've already confirmed.
All right, we'll go with that. We'll try that one for a while.
Right.
No, listen, I just want to see a little bit more from the offense. Quick final thought, though. The way you lay it out, this team, if they're going to exceed expectations, get to 9 or 10 wins and make the playoffs, their top 20-25 guys just need to ball out this year.
Uh-huh.
And there's enough responsibility, there's enough on their plate to do what they need to do just offensively and defensively without adding special teams to their mix. Now, I know special teams is important. I know games can be severely impacted by special teams. That said, I think I'm willing to roll the dice and hope and pray that I can get through games with what I have with my backups playing special teams rather than expose my key guys to having to go out there and play special teams as well.
Yeah, you would like to be able to get that done,
I'm willing to make that trade-off.
Uh-huh.
Roll the dice and just hope you don't get burned. Because I think the option of saying, well, our guys can't do it, so we're going to have to put our starters out there. I don't think this team can afford to do that.
Hmm. Yeah.
Now, when, you know, that first kickoff gets returned for a touchdown, you know, maybe I'll be like, hey, get Chubb out there, you know, or whatever. But,
you sorry sons of a...
Yeah. Justin Simmons would have made that tackle, you know, right. That kind of thing. But
I'm
not ready to go there.
I get it, but there certainly is cause for concern.
Yes, there is. All right, we will get to some great reaction. It is a Reaction Tuesday, so we want to hear from you on the RamosLive.com text line, 303-713-1043. How worried are you about Bolsey? What happened to Miracle Man Mike Munchak? That's coming up next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
All right, some good observations. It is a Broncos Reaction Tuesday after last night's game. So here's what we got coming in on the RamosLaw.com text line. 303-713-1043 from Colin in Windsor. Uh-huh. Guys, a way too early thought. But if Chubb turns out to be who he's been projected to be before the draft, let's say a Terrell Suggs type, and continues to dominate offensive linemen, then John Elway will have drafted two top five defensive players in Broncos history. Probably a better play than taking a flyer on an insanely overrated Hall of Fame five quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking the same thing. Here's what I was thinking last night as I was watching Bradley Chubb dominate. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. But man, if we had Josh Rosen.
Right, right.
Right.
We had Josh Rosen coming off the bench, moping around, lacking body language. That would just put us over the top.
So much better.
Yeah.
Than watching Bradley Chubb terrorize.
Right. Because, you know, I mean, we just have to understand that he's going to be our franchise. Because, you know, he's the franchise quarterback in Arizona for the next 15 years. So.
He's not in Arizona.
He's not. He's
no.
What?
No, he's not.
But he's a Hall of Fame five.
No, he's in Miami.
He's going to dominate. I mean, you've got your franchise quarterback for the next 15 years. That's what Matt told me.
No, he's trying.
If you take one in the top five, you've got your 15 years. You're done.
He's trying to beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Rusty Gutful. Yeah, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick, Rusty Gutful, I like to call him. Then he gained like 62 pounds in the offseason and realized that, wait a minute, we don't have anybody that can play. Get Rusty Gutful in here.
For anybody who thinks we are negative, check out this one from James, all right?
Is that Marilat?
Oh, gosh. That's a good point. I don't know. It just says James.
Oh, no.
If the Broncos had 53 tight ends, they'd all be hurt. No national talk show host has whispered one Bronco receiver in the same breath as great. Their O-line would win every glue contest for holding. They have zero, nil, nada special teams, but otherwise they're pretty average. Thankfully, they don't have to fear death by inches, but are suffering death by kilometers. If the over-under for wins for the Broncos was 6, and you had to bet your house on it, no pushes, would you take the over or under?
Ooh. For 6?
For 6, and you can't push.
So
it's either 7
yeah, I
go or more, over. Or 5 or below.
I go over.
Yeah. They're going to be too good defensively. Flacco's too solid of a quarterback to not win at least 7.
Yeah. I'm going with the over.
I can't go.
I'm not going to go way over. I'm not going way over the over.
Yeah. I'll go over the over.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm over the over, but I'm not way over the over. I'm tight on the over. But that's what I thought about this team all, you know, this from day one. I wasn't one of those 12-4 or 14-2 clowns. Where's 14-2 guy after these last two preseason games? Well, I want 14-2 guy to text me.
I can't wait to hear from, we gotta get Nick on to talk about his 12-4.
Oh,
he
gosh.
Still feels good about that.
Yikes.
You know?
You think I was walking back from top five rushing game and I walked back to 10. I want to see where Nick walks back to.
Ish. So, you're still reluctant. You still put up stiff resistance. Whenever I raise the idea, and I'm going to raise it again.
Okay.
After what I saw from Bradley Chubb. That by next year, Bradley Chubb is the Broncos' best defensive player.
Yeah, I'll put up stiff resistance on that. But that comes from, Mike, that comes from, athletically speaking, the things that Von Miller can bring to the table, the things that he can do are not, you know, quote unquote, of this world. So he is, you know, a freak show, to be sure. So I have a really tough time thinking that all of a sudden, like, I know that Bradley Chubb is, and he's an exceptional athlete. There's no question about that. He's a great athlete, and he's a great football player. But there's no way all of a sudden he's going to, from an athleticism standpoint, he's going to usurp and become better than Von Miller. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Well, I guess part of my argument, though, is that, you know, has Von peaked? And by that, if he has peaked, still a very good player.
Uh-huh.
But if he's peaked, is there a inevitable decline? Can still be very good. But from where he was, is there still that inevitable decline that happens to everybody as they get to 30 and above that will allow Bradley Chubb to pass him?
Well, it's at some point, certainly, Mike, at some point.
But is that soon?
I think we become trapped in that kind of prisoner of the moment mentality that, you know, we see a play and we see a guy do something and we're like, oh gosh, you know, he's going to be the next greatest thing. Like, hey, listen, I hope that Bradley Chubb becomes better than Von Miller, because if that was the case, you'd have the best two bookends or the best two pass rushing, you know, players, in the league, and that bodes well for our football team. I'm just not ready to all of a sudden, like, we're as a society in general and as football fans in general, we are so quick to put people on pedestals, right? We are so quick to ascend, have somebody ascend to the top, partly because we just can't wait to knock them down. Like, we can't, okay, there, we put you up there on that pedestal now. Make one mistake so we can knock you out. What's wrong with this guy? He's not playing well, you know? So, is he great? Yeah, he's a great player. Is he Von Miller? No, he's not Von Miller. I mean, there's only one.
Another one on the RamosLaw.com text line. You guys are thinking too hard. Scangarello's nickname just needs to be Wrinkles, like Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys. You're
Wrinkles.
Welcome. Yeah, you're right. I'm going to go with Wrinkles. I'm just going to call him Wrinkles, because Booger McFarland last night was just all about how, hey, Scangarello's here. He respects the Kyle Shanahan offense. He respects the Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak offense, but he's going to put his own wrinkles on it. So from this point forward,
Wrinkles.
Calling him Wrinkles. I can't wait to see the Wrinkles.
I like Wrinkles.
Yeah.
That Wrinkles is good.
Yeah.
What's up, Wrinkles?
Yeah. Wrinkles better have more in store than those just little bubble slip screens.
What if we call him Rip Van? Rip Van Wrinkles.
No, just Wrinkles.
Just Wrinkles.
Just Wrinkles. I can't wait to see all the Wrinkles.
The Wrinkles. I like that. The Wrinkles.
Just the Wrinkles.
It gives you kind of, what was the movie, The Wrinkle in Time?
Yeah.
You know? Is that C.S. Lewis, The Wrinkle in Time?
That's a great... I don't know if you're right, but just the fact that you just went C.S. Lewis is,
yeah.
Very impressive.
Every now and again, I surprise you.
You do something every once in a while. You say something and I'm just like, wow.
Right.
That really surprised me.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you think that, you know, I'm just a big old caveman, but every now and again, but you know who's on my flight yesterday? I know we got to go to break. Christy Alley.
Get out.
Yeah. All right. I'm on my flight. Yeah.
I think it's
Kirsty.
See, that right there would have been a classic.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I would have been, no, it's Kirsty Alley. You go, oh, really?
Yeah. Kirsty. See, that's one that you know that I don't really know that well, so I'll give you that. Yeah, Kirsty Alley.
See, for the time being, we're suspending the Oh, really game because I just don't know what is you being crafty and foxy and you just being wrong.
Right, right.
You
that one,
I mean?
Yeah, that one. If it comes to 80s music, I'm crafty. If it comes to football, I'm crafty. If it comes to anything else, I'm just wrong a lot. So, I mean, we'll put those parameters on the game. Kirsty Alley.
Yeah. Kirsty. How's Kirsty doing? How's she looking?
All right. Well, I'm you know what? Yeah, you want me to answer now or when we come back?
Tell that answer coming up next.
All right.
This is, all right. This is kind of hurtful, but, probably right. It's a good thing this is a sports show because you really don't know anything about anything else. DC doesn't power refrigerators. AC does.
Who cares? That's irrelevant, but go ahead.
Madeline Lengle wrote A Wrinkle in Time, not C.S. Lewis.
Well, you know, I mean, technicalities is what I say.
Yeah, tomato, tomato.
AC/DC, like, yeah, the group is right there. Everybody knows it. Who cares? DC, AC, any C will do, as far as I'm concerned. So, there you go.
There you go. Not really bothered by it.
No, I'm not bothered by it at all. And C.S. Lewis is a great guess. Wrinkle in Time sounds like C.S. Lewis. I know he did Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, right?
Yeah,
C.S. Lewis did? Wrinkle in Time, I thought they were the same thing.
Yeah, you know what? I consider myself a bit of a American Lit type guy, you know? I mean, I like the classics, and for a second there, I was like, makes sense.
Yeah.
That's why I was so surprised.
Right.
Because it made sense.
Yeah, because I said something that made sense.
It did.
It was shocking. We got, I don't know who that is. Erudite over there texting us.
Wow. Look at you. Somebody slept with an encyclopedia last night.
Right underneath the pillow.
Right underneath the pillow.
Just osmosis on that thing. All right. Kirsty Alley.
Kirsty Alley, you was on your flight yesterday.
Yes. Well, it wasn't my flight. It was a United flight that I was on,
right.
But it was on the same flight.
Right.
I tell you, I always like it when you see celebrity. Now, she's like 68 years old. Mike, like I was shocked she's of that age, but super pleasant, just kind to people, and it's always nice to see people that have to reach a certain amount of celebrity that are just kind. She was just a kind soul. I appreciate
she
that.
Is 68. Okay, here's the big question.
Okay,
were you a Rebecca fan or a Diane fan?
Oh, from Cheers?
From Cheers.
I as the show progressed, and I didn't watch a ton of it, but I watched enough of it, I was more of a Diane fan.
Yes. Me too.
Just from the character in general.
Yeah.
You know, how uptight she was and everything else. I was more of a fan of.
I mean, Kirstie Alley was very good.
Yeah.
Rebecca Howe was very good. I mean, that was a tough role, a tough spot to walk into, but I think she handled it very well. But no, it'll always be Diane Chambers for me.
Right, I'm 100% with you on that. I think that's exactly where it was. But like I said, always nice when like celebrities are pleasant, are kind people. I like that. And she was. So there you go.
Okay. We got some very mean people out there on the text line when it comes to Kirsty Alley. Stop it. That's not nice.
I'll
just leave it at that. Okay? All right. List for you the 2 to 4 positives that came out of the game last night for you.
2 to 4 positives.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Can you come up with them?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Absolutely. Can I come up with them? Of course I can come up with them. Emmanuel Sanders was electric. I like to call him DC, direct current, or AC.
Well, somebody said not true. They use DC in Europe, and I bet they have refrigerators. So.
Oh. That's right.
What do you mean? What do you mean that's right?
I was thinking about that.
That's right.
I was thinking about that, Mike.
Okay.
Yes, because I'm going to Europe here in October. I'll be in Europe.
That's right. You're going to be doing a London game.
That's right.
The Bears and Raiders, right?
The Raiders. Yeah, so, I mean, that's exactly what I was thinking. That's AC, DC.
By the way, DeHuff and I tried so hard to just be Mr. Tagalong on that trip. We tried. We worked that so hard.
I know.
We just wanted to leech onto you and go to get a free trip to London. But
I know. It would have been great, too, right? Out. The powers that be just shot you guys down.
Yep.
Yeah, you need to go out there because why? No. But anyhow.
Think of the videos we could have.
Oh, my gosh. We would have just been. Can you imagine? Could you imagine all the things we could. We could have gone to Big Ben.
Yep.
Sky would have been dangling from the clock.
Yep.
Hold on, buddy. I'm coming to help you. You know, that would have been great.
Just full London hijinks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway. So Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders, huge positive for me. The way he played, I tell you what, just was so explosive. He was absolutely, to me, phenomenal. I just was really intrigued and excited about that. I thought that on the defensive side of the ball, I thought that obviously Bradley Chubb was unblockable. And you were right. I mean, he did. You know, he got a sack against the backup, but he gave Joe Staley, who's a still, even in year whatever it is, 11, he is still an outstanding player. I mean, he's just an outstanding left tackle. So, he gave Bradley Chubbs gave him absolute fits. Shelby Harris was all over the place, knocked down a couple of balls, made a great play on a screen, read it. Unblocked, he stopped his pass rush and took off laterally, made a tackle on that. So I thought he was exceptional there. And I thought our defensive secondary, I thought our secondary was really good.
Yep.
So
Yadam, nice play by Yadam.
I don't know what
Tess was calling him.
I don't either, man. There were so many mispronunciations yesterday. I thought maybe I was the only one.
No.
I started questioning whether I was. Whether I was wrong, Busby also made a nice play. Should have been a pick six, but yeah, Yadam was great, and they had a couple of mispronunciations that really bothered you. Like the defense coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers is Robert Saleh, not Salah.
What do you think of Tess's beard? It gave him a certain
gravitas?
Yes, that's just the word I was going to use.
Right.
Man, you are on a wordsmith roll today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's... I liked it.
I've been studying a lot of football.
I think you ought to go with that. I think you should try the beard.
The full beard?
That wasn't even a full beard. That was like just a good, thick 5 o'clock shadow look. I mean, it was good. It was sharp.
Yeah, I'm a little patchy for that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got, like, my sideburns, like... I've done the sideburns before. I've got to grow some long hair off the side of my head to cover up the area that doesn't actually grow sideburn. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
There's a little patch there that just doesn't, it's just like a, it's like right where your glasses go above your ears, you know,
yeah.
And you're like in that little area. It's like my hair doesn't grow there. It's like it knows that I might have sunglasses on, so it doesn't want to get it all hairy there.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
Thumbs up, thumbs down on the first down cam.
Oh, I
like it.
I like it too. I don't think we need to talk about it. It's like new technology. Like it's a camera that's on the yard. It's not like new technology. Like they made it sound like there's like some special trick to putting a camera, like a GoPro on top of the freaking like yardstick. It's not new technology. It's just a camera on the yardstick.
All right. Cecil's angry. He wants to get in. He's got a lot to say. So, we make way. John Davis, Cecil Lammy coming up next.